I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Heavy Pencil.
An actor of my experience, you just get wrung dry.
A podcast sitcom with Anna Crilly and Tony Gardner.
I played Edmund Gelder, and he played Fanny Snatch.
The Observer called it
a lovely thing, wonderfully funny, pitched perfectly, produced with a light touch.
I'm not having any more of this. I need you to pull me off immediately.
Heavy Pencil from Great Big Owl.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Okay. Hello, welcome back. Welcome to Curse of Strictly. Probably the final episode of this year.
Oh, Mark, I've suddenly become sad.
Even though Christmas Day, they are doing, I would say, the thing that we've talked about quite a lot in the last two series of this show.
Yeah.
Which is doing It's the Best and Most Memorable Dances, and here we present them.
They're doing like a big CGI advent calendar.
Yeah. By the way, it was worth saying, actually, we talked about Joanna Page last episode.
Yes, we did.
About her doing the T&Cs. And I, when that advert came on, I was like, why haven't they done it where the T's and C's throughout the series are just done by previous winners and contestants?
I absolutely
prefer that.
You do
that family of Strictly.
Yeah, exactly.
There is that thing about Joanna Page is no bigger a star than, say, oh, God, I can only think of Anne Widdecombe. Jill Halfpenny.
Yes, you know. Yes.
But you bring Jill Halfpenny back and she's like, hi, it's Jill Halfpenny, winner of season whatever it was.
They have so many alumni to choose from, you know.
They do. If you're going to go for people who aren't huge names, then at least go for the ones who have done the show, who you know are going to be watching it.
Absolutely.
It's a weird thing that the BBC, I mean, most famously like Blue Peter, how close all of the presenters from over the years are. They are a family.
Yeah, so it's a rep company. It's like you take advantage of that.
I mean, all the Blue Peter presenters that I've met, and I've actually met them en masse as well,
They
are very much proud, and they talk about this sort of strange bond they all have. It's incredible that with a show like Strictly, the BBC don't make more mileage out of that.
Yes, for sure.
I'd almost like to see, you know, pretty much if you're going to be doing things like It Takes Two, Zoe Ball, for example, presents that. But I would like to see those backstage roles being filled by people who have done the show before.
Well, I mean, you say that, but you got very shitty about Gethin doing...
I don't
doing
like Gethin.
But he's a former
like
contestant.
I don't remember him doing it. I do not remember him doing it. I also refuse to remember Matt Baker doing it because I don't want him back either.
Because they all go on to present the one show and make your life a misery.
Yeah, I would rather it was Anne Widdecombe coming back and
having to ask questions.
Yes,
no,
I would.
You would not. But she hates gay people.
She doesn't just hate gay people. She also hates women's right to choose.
Oh, that's all right then. She'll be in Jamie Biscuits's government. Don't worry.
So the show dances. This is really the bits that we've never seen before.
Oh, joy.
The rest of the show is very much here are your best dances from the series.
Right, exactly.
But this was them going in for their new things. It started with Harvey and Jeanette doing their show dance to a sort of medley of Boogie Wonderland and then into a sort of Spanish-y, I'm going to say Shakira, only because I can't think of any other artists it may be.
Don't look at me, Matt. I've got no idea. But they were trying to conjure the spirit of a music festival, which obviously there haven't been any music festivals this year. Mm. So, and it was a commercial dance. It was kind of playing to their strengths, obviously. But there was all kinds of stuff in there. It wasn't just, say, a side-by-side kind of pop and lock type deal. It was the whole world of styles in there, incredible lifts.
Oh, amazing.
Like it was clearly them throwing the kitchen sink at their last, you know, hurrah.
And you could see as they started, Harvey came down the steps, and as they went into it, you could see almost like a cloud going over his face of, aww, I have got a lot to remember in this one. And it just, I loved that. I was like, serious, this is it. All right then, keep it together,
lad.
There
was something at stake,
There was. When he came out and did what I called spinning her round forever while she crouched, which is, I believe...
I think it's called a pot stirrer.
Pot stirrer, that's right.
Yeah.
He did that, vum, 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 vum. So she's spinning like a kid's top. and just round and round and round. And her next thing is she had to run upstairs in high heels. And I thought, that is a supernatural phenomenon. You know, just being able to do that after just spinning round and round and round like a top. I was amazed by this dance. I thought it was just absolutely breathtaking.
I was too. I wrote things down like spinny and nimble and lift. I'm not good at taking notes when I'm two glasses in and just really enjoying myself, it turns out. But it was, I really don't like the song Boogie Wonderland. I can't explain why I don't like this song. But I loved this dance and actually didn't mind the song, which is about as much as, you know, I can sort of stand
yeah.
it. Genuinely, what a routine. And the judges were effusive in their praise. Motsy said, well, she was just very effusive generally. She always is. And Craig said,
she also finds it difficult to do the judging after a couple of glasses, doesn't she? Because she obviously has a couple before
no,
she turns up to do the Strictly judging.
Never go on alone. I'm sure she has one small champagne. She's a classy act. And, you know, just to get herself in the mood. No, she wasn't drunk. I think she's just on live television, which can make people say and look unusual because the adrenaline's coursing through you. Don't need booze, you've got adrenaline. Shirley did point out, which was lovely, that it was Jeanette's first final and everyone was kind of like really, the whole studio was clearly just really happy for her.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's been a long time coming, 8 years, and she's been, as we've said repeatedly, the spirit of Strictly finally gets to go all the way to the end, which was a lovely moment. And yeah, then she pointed out that pot stirrer just as absolutely one of the hardest things to pace it and to not wobble and oh my God. Yeah. They were very, very, very impressive.
It was astonishing. And I thought, you know, at the end when they came out, they had Nan and Grandad, Harvey's Nan and Grandad. We'll do the joke one last time. Nun and Grundad. And they were celebrating their diamond. They were celebrating their diamond wedding anniversary, and
so perfect.
Yeah,
so perfect.
And he was like, "I'll give you this trophy and everything." I noticed he only addressed his nan, and I noticed his granddad didn't speak as well.
He didn't say anything. No,
I had a granddad like that who was very much until I was like eight, and my gran died. I don't think I'd heard him say more than five words.
Oh, bless. Maybe he's just not very well.
I don't know. I think Nan might have been a talker.
Just a man of few words. Yes, maybe he can't get a word in edgeways. That's fair enough.
He was also wearing a box fresh top, which I loved. I loved the whole, I've got a new top for telly. And I that made my heart really swell. I thought they were delightful.
Completely delightful. The judges' scores
came in. Oh, Julia. This is the point where I was getting angry.
Shirley, 10. Motsy, 10. Craig, 9. That wasn't a 9.
What do you expect the two of them to do better? Does he have to...
I just don't know.
And open his chest and just like a thousand flowers fall out. I just...
And his ribs have to dance in syncopation too.
Oh, and they're all...
Like, find something wrong with it. Find one thing wrong with it and then you justify a 9. Find one freaking thing.
And do you know what? Ugh. If you can find something wrong with it, in the final show, when there's a dance that good... How about keeping it to your fucking self? Right? Just give them a 10. It was a 10 dance.
Right.
There was a moment where, had that been a 10, that would have been Jeanette Manera's greatest memory of this show. And it will just always be tempered by the fact that when he said 9, she went, oh, that's not the perfect moment, you know?
So annoying. Like, just again, you're good at making entertainment. You understand this shiny floor bollocks and how much it means to everyone and how to play the audience. And there was a moment earlier where they declared the vote open and he had a headdress on and he did the, you know, the poker face and then kind of it cracked. And it's like, yes, you understand. You save it up, you dish it out in small amounts. You know exactly how to leaven this. But he missed that opportunity to
completely give
her that firecracker moment.
And
real shame.
Let's not forget it, to give everyone who was watching that moment. And that's the sort of thing that I think is, this wasn't part of being a character. This was a bad decision. Again, if I was the BBC Director General, after I'd talked to the people who had booked Joanna Page for the biggest show of the year, I would be bringing in Craig and saying, well, listen, old man, I just wanted to have a little chatteroo about the old ninny ninos and why you will learn never ever to do this again.
Quite right too.
Jamie and Karen came with their show dance for I'm Still Standing. the Elton John song.
Yes, yes.
Extraordinary journey for Jamie, they said. Going all the way from being a beginner
to remaining an absolute amateur with no real sense of rhythm or timing. So this was, they started with the kind of them under a red light looking sad to kind of garner sympathy for the fact that he's always in the dance-off.
Yeah.
Which slightly ignores the fact he's only ever in the dance-off because no one is voting for him. And it was so choreographed by, I should have written down their names, I didn't, but earlier in the week on It Takes Two, the two choreographers that come in from the outside to do anything that's not sort of, they do the contemporary, the street dance, that kind of stuff, because most of the experts on the show, the dancers, are ballroom and Latin.
Yeah.
Most of them are. So they often need outside choreographers. It's this male and female team that come in and get, and Jamie's dances for the final, all three dances were choreographed by these two who have literally no ballroom or Latin experience whatsoever. So he wasn't on Strictly Come Dancing as far as I was concerned, because he didn't do a single step that wasn't a kind of playing to your strengths, pop and lock street dance. So, you know, that has to be taken into account, I think.
Yeah.
And obviously their show dance was no different. It was all it was all street dance and bouncing and jumping.
And they did that classic thing of having him coming in on sort of being lowered down from heaven at the start on wires. And that was a perfect...
He actually adopted the position of Jesus on the fucking cross, Mark. He actually did
but
that.
But one of the things it means, of course, is he had less dancing time.
Of course, if you're on wires.
That is a classic Anton... with whoever he's dancing act that you go, get some props. That'll kill 5 seconds. Yeah. Where can we take 5 seconds from somewhere else?
Absolutely.
So Downey comes on that. You then cut to Karen doing her dancing bit while they're presumably getting the harness off.
Yep.
And then it, you know, kicks off. But again, you know, for the final, should you be wasting 15 seconds? You know,
really
that's 15
not.
Seconds
not on
that...
a show dance. When you're supposed to be showing off what you've learned, it's the whole point.
And then, he did show off what they'd learned because he then did mirroring throughout, which is the one thing he's just always relied on this series. You know,
as someone with a narcissistic personality disorder, mirroring is very much in his wheelhouse. literally, even in one training session, coming in wearing Karen's clothes with a mask of Karen's face on his face. Like, the clues were there, people. We all remember from much earlier in the first lockdown, we all remember I'm Dil Danding. Do you remember I'm Dil Danding?
Elton John's classic rendition. Yeah.
This is as if someone had turned I'm Dil Danding into a dance. I'm delighted to say it was not very good. I mean, the choreography was fine. He wasn't very good. He'd already not done a very good repetition of a dance he did in week three. Mm. This, as a show dance, was really sloppy. He was often out of sync, even though the whole point of him is supposed that he dances the same as Karen, next to Karen, mirroring Karen. Mm. He just wasn't very good.
No.
And you can tell how happy I am about that.
It also, I mean, I get annoyed when things end. So he ended almost in this sort of iconic Freddie Mercury pose. And again, I get annoyed because it's like not a Queen song. It's Elton John. You should have ended like Elton John.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, just sitting down, isn't it? I can't think really what
Elton glasses,
does. He doesn't have... suddenly dressing as Donald Duck. But it reminded me more of like a statue of Saddam Hussein. You know, that had its...
It being pulled over.
But I did look at it and there was something about the whole sort of imagery of it that I immediately recoiled about. And it was slightly that in 2020, having a less talented, white, wealthy man with his arm up in the air, standing above a more talented woman who doesn't benefit from white male privilege, you know, beneath him, who's done all the work and is being subjugated. You can read a lot into these things, but for me, that was a moment where I just went, someone here is not like on the ball. Someone here is not on Twitter. They just don't, they can't see the thing that they've presented might be regarded as, you know, being a little bit gross.
As they might say in government, the optics were not good. Boris Johnson didn't look great, like looming over that pensioner who was scrabbling for like crumbs on the floor.
If my Christmas card this year had been me on a plinth with my arm raised up and my family like deep below me, I think everyone would sort of go, oh, it's nice to see you've gone mad.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm toxic now, everyone. Yeah,
now.
Horrible.
But yeah, so it was in all the ways, it missed the mark, I think, in terms of his skill at dancing. It didn't, even when they just played to what he clearly wants to do, which is no ballroom holds, no Latin steps, no hip action, no leg retraction. Like, there was no specific skill he was asked to do in that final at all, apart from have energy, keep it up. And the judges, they just talk around his lack of ability and his lack of technique.
I love watching you dance. Shirley said, dancing from your heart. Ugh. Motsy said, "You're such a role model."
For what?
Have you watched his show, Motsy?
Oh,
have you watched his show? He's like a rat on knockoff Viagra.
Yeah.
You know, what a role model. What a role model to revolting men worldwide. Furious.
And Craig said, all Craig could think to say was, it was like watching an aerobic workout. You brought to mind Anne Widdecombe. And then he sort of changed that around. I think Jamie's face must have been a picture, but I don't remember. And he talked about his energy. All they can do is say, you're enthusiastic, you have energy, you're enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Yes, and those two things are absolutely true. I think this final is some of the worst dancing, in quotation marks, Jamie's ever done. He just seemed to be, I mean, maybe it was just too much having three to rehearse. It's a lot, you know, when he's got a lot of, I don't know, cheating on his girlfriend to do, and maybe allegedly, and, you know, and sort of like deciding what colour the next suite he produces should be, you know, that kind of stuff. But he just seemed to not have the ability.
No, blue!
Oh my God, my life is so hard. I've got such a lot on. But they didn't. Nobody picked up that he wasn't in synchronisation with Karen for half of that dance. He wasn't up to scratch at all. And they just talked around his limitations, which is what they always do. And the scoring could obviously, by this point, getting the same marks as Harvey and Jeanette, 9 and 2 tens.
Jamie's dance was objectively as good as the one we'd just seen by Harvey and Jeanette.
Yeah.
That is what they're saying.
That's
to us.
What they're
it
saying.
It is as good as that
and
dance.
And Maisie and Gorka Samba, as good as Maisie and Gorka Samba. And it was as good, apparently, as Bill and Otis' Quick Step. No.
And
then he talks
ridiculous.
To Claudia afterwards. And he pretends to be choked up. And crucially with Jamie, because, you know, there's no tears. I was watching in HD. There weren't any tears. There never are. He always says, oh, God, why am I crying? Oh, God, I'm so choked up. Oh, God, why am I crying? Because he has to let you know, because there's no other kind of visual signification that anything's going on in there. He pretends to be sad. He clearly was much more angry that Bill, you know, was getting all of the kind of the real emotion from Claudia. Yeah. Certainly Claudia's crying. He can't do it. And he's jealous of other people who can. And it makes him angry. And it makes me very happy to watch him sort of like confused and angry at why he can't conjure any emotion.
There's a very easy way to be able to be emotional. And that's to be a real person who
it's
doesn't
just to let
just
your feelings
sort of
in.
Skate
in.
Through life.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
One of those things, isn't it?
Oh, hello you. My name's Tom Price.
Hello, I'm Dave Cribb.
You should come and join us every day. We do a podcast called Cabin Fever, where we talk to loads of comedians who've had to cancel everything else in their lives, so they come on our podcast instead, don't they, Dave?
Yeah, it's an isolation podcast.
Dave, were you yawning at the start of that sentence then? Was it just a little yawn?
Yeah, especially the Great Big Owl isolation podcast. We'll have people on from all our podcasts, from your Rule of Threes, your Brian and Rogers, your Musicals, your Bitchins. If you like any of our podcasts, if you like any of those people, chances are they'll be logging onto the Zoom call and just chatting, because let's face it, they got nothing else to do.
Also, there'll be a quiz on the bill. All right, see you soon. Lots of love. Cabin FE83709. Oh, that's our Twitter
name. If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The next show dance is Bill and Otie, who danced to The Show Must Go On by Queen. CGI was good here. This, again, felt for me a little bit like a bit of musical theatre.
It was properly theatrical, a show dance.
Again, I had that sort of feeling of like Bill being the evil tyrant who is about to be deposed by our plucky young hero, a young woman of colour. And yet, you know, he'd begun to respect his adversary. And
this is the final moment.
It felt like a sort of show.
I like that, narrative. That's good, Mark.
It felt like a show you might see in Edinburgh and you'd tell everyone about it. You go, it's absolutely brilliant. It was really great. And you'd never hear of it again. And you'd always think about it and go sort of like, that was great, that thing where that evil, tyrannical man with the beard and the really lovely girl who I saw later in Brooks Bar, actually. And, tried to have a chat, but...
she wasn't interested.
One of those like comics, you know, from last year was really like hanging around. He was a dickhead. Anyway, they went out for a bit, apparently, so...
Mark, come back. 2020, come back. There was no Edinburgh this year. But it was theatrical. There was a kind of a magician sort of narrative going on. She was sort of the Queen of Hearts, the turning of the card, all that stuff. And then it was just very Hispanic. There was a lot of tango and crisp legwork, a little bit of Argentine in there, I think, as well, with some of those leg kicks and maneuvers. But it was ultimately, it was just rather than going charming and cuddly and Charleston-y, which I thought maybe they would do because he's so beloved by everyone.
Yeah.
I think they went a really difficult way in the final and decided to give him a serious acting role. And yeah. I think it really paid off. I really enjoyed it.
I didn't know how it had gone, I must admit. I watched it and I thought that didn't connect with me in the way that a lot of the others had. And I think it's because it lacked that brilliant, light sense of humour that a lot of his dances have.
Yes.
When you do the sense of humour dances, but you can absolutely dance, Maisie is also good at this.
Yeah.
They are an unbeatable combination.
Exactly.
And when I saw this, I sort of thought, oh, there feels like something lacking to the way that I normally respond to his dances.
Yeah.
And it was an odd thing
to bring the guitar with the sparklers coming out the end of it, the fireworks at the end, because that sort of is funny. But it wasn't in the context of that dance. It was like, I'm confused. Yeah. That was an odd decision of the choreography right at the end, though, I think.
My wife said maybe it was much better in the room than it came across on TV.
Perhaps.
Maybe it felt very sort of palpable. But I actually watched that dance and I thought, oh, God, I think that's the weakest dance that we've seen.
Oh, seriously? I didn't think that.
Yeah. But... I didn't think it was bad in any way. I just thought, oh, gosh, I think the judges are going to go, you tried for something there and I don't think you quite pulled it off.
Yes.
I was totally wrong. They got 3 tens, you know. I was glad to see it. But
I think he did in terms of technique and because he was doing something again that Jamie would never attempt, which was actual ballroom in a show dance where he could have done, you know, anything he wanted, really. But he chose proper ballroom. And I think maybe they just admired the fact that he was doing it properly and doing a real dance, not like a bullshit side by side.
Yeah, I think my interpretation of how it came across was actually coloured by the fact that I was going... he's about to do something incredible. And actually, I didn't realise what he was doing at that moment was incredible.
It was just skillful.
You know, I was thinking he was going to be giving me something else. And so...
You were wanting something different, yeah.
Like when you think you've got a glass of water at the side of the bed when you wake up and you take a slug of it and it's like white wine.
Oh, no.
And it's like you've been poisoned. You're like, what is that? It's white wine. I shouldn't be drinking that. I once drank... I thought I was drinking Coke and it was orange juice. And it was like, oh, my God, the Coke's gone off and this is mad.
Troubling, yeah.
So it's a drink that I have a lot. And yet, in that moment, I didn't recognise it.
Your expectations is what you're saying in a roundabout way, Mark. Yeah.
Bill Bailey, I was expecting Coke and I got orange juice and it unsettled me.
Fair enough. Not that the orange juice was bad, your taste buds weren't expecting it.
Orange juice is great.
I genuinely loved this dance, but I did feel like they were going... I thought there would be lots of different stuff in there. And I think maybe in terms of dance styles, there probably was, and ballroom certainly, but... Mm. The overall thing was confusing because he was famous for always having a prop or an instrument. He played instruments a lot in his dances throughout the series. They obviously felt like, and he did an actual guitar solo at the end of his dance, which was really impressive, but sort of didn't fit with the rest of it at all. If he's a magician, be a magician and do something amazing and finish with a bunch of flowers coming out of your ass. I don't know. But the guitar thing was a bit like, okay, you've just chucked that on at the end. And yeah, I know what you mean. There was something not quite cohesive about the whole idea. But the judges loved it.
We couldn't have been more wrong. We could not have been more wrong. They went mad for it. Shirley, you are a sensation. I don't know what to say to you. You're iconic. Motsy, in between all of that, I stopped breathing. I couldn't take it. You become the dance.
Yes, you become the dance, which I think I do Amazing. Agree. He does lose yeah. himself in that character.
And then Craig said, it reeked of desperation.
You should I be committed. It. Yeah, exactly.
But when he said it reeks of desperation, I thought, oh, God, yeah. I was unsure what this is. And so often in those ones, you know, there's been an amazing dance and Craig will say a line that is, you know, well, you know, darling, I've got one thing. And you're going, oh, he's going to twist
here
it.
Here we go. Here we go.
I really thought at that point he was going to go, it reeks of desperation. You tried, you failed.
I thought it was the wrong approach.
Yeah.
Genuinely. They've seen the rehearsal. They know what they're going to get. Like, think of something better to say than that. That's not good.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
good.
I think he was sort of saying your character reeks of desperation or something. Yeah. I couldn't quite.
I couldn't read that remark.
No, but then it became the dance that got the 3 tens. I mean
this
Bill
is where he won it.
Tens.
I think the dance went halfway to giving him that title, but where he won it was afterwards when he was with Claudia. They were upstairs with Claudia. He got those messages from Brian May and Roger Taylor of Queen, and he looked genuinely like a kid who'd just been handed, you know, here's Freddie Mercury's mic stand. It's all yours. You can take it. He looked genuinely humble and gobsmacked and like frickin' thrilled.
It was lovely to see the way that he spoke. And obviously, again, being that sort of he is Bill, he is the funny one, to see how much it meant to him and see how emotional he was and just to
Completely.
And to see how wonderfully he spoke to Otie, that he didn't do a thing of going, you know, you've absolutely smashed it. You know, you're a best friend. You're this, that, the other. He just sort of turned to her and he just sort of said, you know, you're a beautiful soul. And it was a really, really lovely moment.
That was it. It was that you found something
Thank
in me
you.
I didn't know was there. And he was trying not to cry, not in a Jamie way, like he was really trying not to cry. Mm. Claudia was crying. She was crying. And Bill was crying.
Yeah.
Everyone was in tears. It felt really gorgeous. And Claudia said, just quickly before you go, you wanted that to be like a rallying cry. And initially, obviously, before the lockdown announcement, they talked during the week about the show must go on being a kind of their tip of the hat to the arts, to everyone who's not getting any government funding, obviously without being political on the BBC, but to all the people who are feeling really frightened about their livelihoods and they can't perform. And it was supposed to be a kind of shout out to them. And he said, it's not just for them now, it's for all of us. This is really hard. We've got to be strong. We've got to keep going.
Yeah.
And I think in anybody else's mouth, those words would have sounded a bit, oh, come on. But he just really looked like he meant it. And it's his industry too. It's his people. It's his friends. The live industry
is dead
at the moment.
It's so nice to see an intelligent adult on television. It just, it's been a long time, it feels.
It was lovely. And I think in that, it totally has. I think in that moment, it just, that was the emotional crescendo of the show for me. I really cried. It was a brilliant moment. And I think that's when Bill, I mean, if he hadn't already won it by just being week after week, straight up brilliant. I think that's when any floating voters would have gone, you're what this show is about. And it was just
completely
lovely.
Then we had Maisie and Gorka's show dance.
Oh my God, my heart went pop.
Seemed like a mixed blessing to really be hammering home the Christmas thing on this day of all of them. I loved it. I bet you did. You thought it was lovely.
Yes.
That's
I'm
nice.
I'm sitting here looking at my Christmas tree, just again feeling the warm glow of that. I warmed my hands on that freaking dance. It was beautiful.
It was really well set, this, with the sort of, you
so
know, the
well.
Drums. And she looked incredible. And it felt like... something quite sort of cloying and American about it, but that made
it
look classy.
It was very Fred and Ginger.
Yeah, wasn't it?
I mean, they kind of did two dances like that, really, in the final, but it was absolutely the kind of, again, employing her incredible facial expressions, the ever-changing faces she does. It was full of character. It was full of her. It was very Maisie.
Yeah,
because
wasn't
it was just kind of childish joy and excitement. And actually, I forget, when she does the kind of after-match analysis chats, she's so articulate for a 19-year-old who's just bursting with emotion and having the time of her life. She still manages to find more words to describe how she's feeling than most of the other people on the show.
Completely. I think, you know,
just
I think right from the start
final.
Of this, you know, I was fairly sure that she would be a delightful little scrapper. And she's
yes,
proved to
were,
be that.
Yes, you were.
There's something very, very warm and non-threatening in a funny way. She doesn't play up the sort of sexuality. She is just there to go, I am here to give everything to this. I am here to dance for the ladies and the gentlemen. And I think she was...
Yeah.
I thought she was a lovely, lovely addition. I'm quite sad in a way that she's not going to be a regular part of my weekly viewing now.
I mean, know.
I'm not going to start watching EastEnders. That's not going to happen.
No, neither am I. God, no.
She was just really, really good. This didn't play to her strengths because I think her strengths are attack. And this was
okay.
This was not an attack, but
I mean, she did cover the floor
completely.
In quite an impressive
and
way. I think.
The dance was flawless. It was absolutely flawless. I did have a thing of just going, can you please go out and do one of Jamie's dances and show him how it should be done? And just do it at 200 miles an hour. Those arms going and just absolutely humiliate everyone with your robotic fierceness. I thought she was brilliant.
She's just amazing.
Yeah, she
but
really
I actually
is.
Put even, because I think some of her best dances, and this is like a styling decision, that obviously the styling department are so good at making sure the character of the dance kind of comes through in what they're sort of wearing and how they're styled. But she, her hair danced in this dance.
Yeah.
Like when they give her flowing, free-flowing locks, she actually dances with her hair. Like she does choreography and stuff with her head. That her hair joins her. It's quite spectacular. I think she's a miraculous talent.
Like a sort of beautiful ginger ocean wave. Just absolutely
lovely.
Oh, it
really is.
Yeah.
She's so beautiful.
If you do see a ginger ocean wave, it's probably quite serious pollution. So,
it's the end of the world.
Yeah, report it. Report it immediately.
Don't bother running. Just hug those you love close and stay in your homes. Okay?
Shirley said it was absolutely exquisite, sensational, and Craig said it was annoying because I couldn't find anything wrong with it.
Couldn't find a single thing wrong with it.
Yeah, three tens. I mean, she got the 30. If I was Harvey and Jeanette, I would be a bit miffed about that. I think,
yes, me too. I think they were both brilliant in the final. Obviously, the two best dancers by a million miles were those two. And they should have been marked equally, I think.
Completely.
For sure.
I did have a point where she turned and she was talking to Gorka and just saying, you know, how he wonderful he was and everything. And I really thought, I hope I, at some point, get a thing where I get to go on BBC One and a young woman will just tell me how great I am. I think that'd be
that,
a really
that
nice
is
thing.
Never going to happen. It's never, unless you can get hold of some of Jamie's gas, you're going to, I'm afraid, I don't, I mean, I look, am I younger than you? I'll try now if you want, but I'm not going to mean it.
Right. In that case, no, you're not younger than me. I imagine you're about 15 years older.
Do you know what? I think I am. By the way, my husband pointed out last night, and this is just a bit of trivia, that when they go on and on about Bill and how it's amazing at 55 years old that he can dance the way he can, guess who's 4 years younger than Bill? Just 4 years younger than Bill. Tess Daly.
Really?
Put those two side by side. There is 4 years in between them, and they're talking to him like he's on his last legs.
They really are.
When she looks like that. Because women are not allowed to age. Please remember, women, that decay is unacceptable in this context.
It's slightly like when Shirley is sort of going, you know, you're 55 and stuff. Yeah. And I think, well, Shirley, I mean, you remember 55 because it was about 20 years ago. I mean, credit to you. But there is always a hang-up about age on this. And I've seen a lot of the papers this morning were saying Bill, the oldest winner of Strictly ever.
And Maisie and was just, the youngest finalist.
I sort of don't mind the youngest so much, but there is that thing about going, he's not really the oldest winner of Strictly ever. He's the winner of Strictly.
Yeah, he really is. Let him have that, because actually he just danced like a pro and he was great. And
Is he the most bearded winner of Strictly ever? I mean, you know, you can make arbitrary things that don't really matter and don't really tell you anything about the performance or the show.
It's not like Colonel Tom got out of his, you know, his walking frame and done a dance. Like he's 55 and in obviously very good shape and fit. And, it's been over-egged a bit too much. But anyway, Maisie and Gorka's Fred and Ginger kind of Christmas dream got three tens. And there was some really nice stuff about her starting... I mean, I didn't sense a nervous teenager in episode one of this series by any means, but she talked about how she could be really shy sometimes and that she's progressed into a totally different person, is a confident woman now, and her mum's noticed, and that really made her emotional, and it was lovely.
I believe, even though she's 19, I believe she has actually had a television career for the last 15 years.
Literally for those 15 years,
I mean, you know, she is essentially a child worker.
Yes, she is. She's been down,
the legality
those,
of
down
that.
Those glittery mines for 15
Yeah, down the glitter mines all those 15 years. So when people sort of say, you know, I'm very nervous and everything. You sort of go, yeah, well, you know, you also, you have been working on television.
Yeah, not when the camera's on you, clearly. But maybe she in general, she's a bit uncertain about herself. And, you know, this is the first time she's had to look after herself and that kind of thing.
She spent 4/5 of her life pretending to be someone else.
Yes.
Of course, Maisie Smith is a bit of a work in progress. You know,
My name's Jason Fleming. The More Than My Past podcast will see me talking to a wide range of inspiring people. People who have confronted and overcome addiction or imprisonment or both and turned their lives around.
I did mad things that was hurting myself and hurting other people.
Everybody grows up in a house called normal. Heroin addiction and chaos was my normal.
Some people don't understand the word moderation, and I was definitely one of those people.
The More Than My Past podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.